All right. Well, thank you. I haven't even started yet. thank you very much for having me here. My name is Luca. By day, I work as a software engineer in the Linux Azure group, in the Linux system group at Microsoft. And by night, I am involved in various open source projects. Most relevant for this talk, I am one of the upstream maintainers and developers of Systemd. Now, today I'm here to talk to you about what I think is one of the latest things to come out of the Systemd project, which is Particle OS. Its purpose is to let you build immutable systems. So, first of all, quick look at the agenda. We are going to look at why do we want this thing, what tools do we use to build one, what do we build it from, what are the components, how do we put it together, where do we put it together, and then what we end up with at the end. Hopefully some delicious immutable image. Now, I dropped a glossary in here. I'm not going to go through all the items, not enough time, but the slides are online on the schedule. You can download them. All the blue things are links that are clickable. If you don't know about these things, you can check them online. Only one thing I want to mention here, because this is the distribution dev room. So in order to build an immutable system, one of the requirements that we have, at least with the tools that we use, is the Hermetic user. As a concept, this just means that your OS vendor tree or your distribution vendor tree is self-contained under slash user. Everything else can be regenerated on boot when needed, or installed, or on factory reset. Now, in practice, if you are a distribution package maintainer or software developer, in 99% of the cases, this just means if you need system users or groups, use sysuser.d to create them. Don't handle your script, bash script in your maintainer scripts. And if your software needs some directories or files under var or etc, use tmpfiles.d instead of, again, unrolling your maintainer script, your post-inst or whatever. Because that way we can recreate them on boot. These are declarative tools with declarative configuration that can be used for this purpose. Now, first of all, what is even an immutable system? The embedded people have been shipping read-only images for their devices since forever, right? So this is not a new concept. What we're trying to do here is to push the envelope a little further, and especially from the security point of view. But in order to do that, we need to establish some ground rules. Now, this is, of course, my view and the view of other people, but it might not be universal, but it's my talk, so I'm going to tell you about my view. Now, an immutable system means immutable. If you just need to run some commands as root and you persistently change the content of your OS, it's not really mutable. If you just do mount minus O remount RW and you get a completely writable and persistent root-class system, it's not an immutable system. If you run some snapper or zipper or RPM restrict commands and you can add arbitrary programs to that and then just boot into it locally, it's not really an immutable system anymore, now, is it? Now, the way to look at this, in my view, is to think about the threat model. Now, if you have any system that have any value whatsoever, at some point, they will be under attack. And you will have some malware that tries to escape whatever confinement it finds itself in, whether that's your browser and the sandboxing features it has, or whether that's a container processing untrusted data from the network. The question is, what happens after that? If malware can rootkit itself, install itself, and make itself persistent, then you're going to have a bad time. So the harder that is, the better for any system where security matters. So in order to do that, there are some prerequisites, and you can use some tools that we're going to look into. But the translation here is you really want to use a kernel verified DM verity partition for your programs so that they can be verified cryptographically by the kernel when they run. And that way you don't just, the malware doesn't just have to escape the sandbox, doesn't just have to get execution privileges, doesn't just have to get root, but it also needs to break into the kernel and gain writable access to kernel memory. And that's hard, not impossible, but hard. And the harder it is, the more expensive it is, the less appetizing your system is for the bad people. Now, this used to be really hard to do, impossible, in fact, until a couple of years ago. But one of the purposes of Particle OS is to give you the tools and the recipes to very easily create such systems and images. So as for the motivation, now let's look at the tools. MQSI is the systemd project's image building tools, because of course we have an image builder tool in the systemd project. Everybody's got an image building tool. I think it's a mandatory step in any Linux engineer's career to write a new image building tools themselves. So this was created by Leonard some years ago to facilitate his development workflow for systemd. These days, Dan is doing most of the work maintaining it together with Jörg. It's a Python 3 tool. Of course, it has INI style configuration files. We love our INI config in systemd. As you might have read on Hacker News, that's because we are on Microsoft Shields. So we love INI files. Now, the main differentiator of this tool versus all the others is that it's meant to make use of all the fancy tools that come out of the systemd project, all the latest and greatest stuff. And you can use it to build various types of images and artifacts. Now, as I mentioned, this was created for local developers' workflows, and it's still great for that. It has some great features. In fact, there's other projects using this. I know some kernel developers who use MQSI for their local development flows. But we have evolved it past that, and you can now use it for production images as well. You can run this on a headless server with no user interaction. All locked down, and it will work and build artifacts for you. And building images and building artifacts, the hardest thing to do always is designing, right? So we support two types of workflows there. The easiest one is the PKCS11-based one. So if your build systems security hardware has a PKCS11 interface for signing, it's super easy. You just add the config file, the PKCS11 URI, and MQSI does everything for you, and that's super nice and easy. Not all build systems do that. A lot of build systems have bespoke and custom solutions, but most of those have the same workflow. That is, you do multi-stage builds. So first you do your normal builds, you end up with artifacts, then your building stops. But from these artifacts, it takes hashes, sends them somewhere, and then you get back signatures of those hashes. And then your build restarts, and you get the artifacts and the signatures. And instead of rebuilding, you're supposed to put them together again. Now, we support this for one particular build system that we'll talk about in a moment. But generically, MQSI supports these workflows where you do the build, stop, and then you can start to reattach things, like the Enverity signatures, for example. That's it for the tools. Now, what are the ingredients of this OS? Now, and what is particular OS in practice? It's not a distribution, right? It is not a full-blown, self-contained distribution. Distribution maintainers do a tremendously difficult and hard and fantastic job at maintaining toolchains and everything else on top of it. We think that the packages that the distribution builds are the right abstraction layer where to start building images from, rather than trying to reinvent what packages do, like things like Draycut, for example, or initramfs tools. So particular OS is a set of recipes, and that's why the abstract has some sort of culinary theme there, because it is literally just a set of recipes to take packages from distributions and use some tools and give out these images with these particular properties. We have recipes written for Fedora, Arch, SUSE, and Debian. Any distribution supported by MQSI can be trivially added. There are, broadly speaking, three categories of work you need to do in order to add a distribution to particular OS recipes. Well, first of all, particular OS has a bunch of boilerplate and config and glue from MQSI, and we have that. The second one is list of packages, like any image building tool that is based on packages. You need to write package lists. If you do that, and then, you know, we have hooks and tools and conditionals for distribution version, architecture, and all the stuff that you expect. But yeah, you need to write the list of packages that you want in your image that is specific to your distribution. The third and final thing is, workarounds. Like, as anybody who develops image building tools knows, there's always workarounds for this or that corner case. In our particular situation, the main kind of workarounds that we have are for the distribution that don't support Hermetic User or don't support it fully, and that's why I did a shout at the beginning about that. Now, distributions are on a spectrum about that. Some are better and some are a bit worse, so there's always workarounds to be added. But yeah, that's the other thing. If mCozy supports your package manager, then it's super easy, super trivial to add a new distro to particular OS. If it's not, like we support apt, DNF, Zipper, Pacman, and whatever the post-market OS use, adding a new package manager is super easy. It's like two Python modules, and we welcome PRs for that. Right, so that's for the content. Now, where do we build this? Where do we use mCozy to build these images? Now, every distribution has their own build system, right? I particularly like the SUSE OBS one for the Open Build Service for a few reasons. First of all, usually a distribution build system is only used for that distribution. You can't build a Fedora package or image in a Debian building network, and vice versa. But SUSE took a very different approach here, and it's very open, and it supports a ton of targets. So you can build the package, RPM packages, Arch Linux packages, and more, and you can build container images. And since 2022, I have added support for mCozy recipes as well. So if you upload to an OBS project the particular OS recipes, it will build an image for you. That's one of the reasons I like this system. The other is that I particularly like how they do their signature handling and key management. Now, very often in distributions, you have first-class packages that can have access to the HSMs to, for example, sign kernels for secure boot, and then you have the rabble who doesn't or has just access to some test keys that are actually public. In SUSE, that's not the case. In the OBS, every single package or image is built on the system, from my random open source developer who signs up for an account and builds things to SUSE's own Leap or Tumbleweed or MicroS production images. They use exactly the same signing code, the signing components, and key management strategy and certificate management strategy. So there is a high degree of confidence that, you know, if you take the stuff that I build on the system, the project, the particular images, the key management for that is done sensibly. On top of this, as a developer that creates an image and builds it on OBS, a particular image, I don't have access to the private keys that I use to sign that. Nobody does. The only things that get signed are the packages uploaded here in the public that you can see. So you know if you use this, if you trust these signatures, that I am not, you know, on my laptop signing with the same key some malware that then I can push to your servers if they use the particular images. This is a very nice property that OBS gives you. Now, after you build and sign, then SUSE has a CDN, so it's published there. The nice thing about this is that SysUpdate update is a systemd tool for updating your OS, and the format used to publish this is supported by SysUpdate automatically, so it's on PGP signed manifest, and it works out of the box, so you just point SysUpdate to it, and it will update your system as builds happen. So as mentioned, we are building a few of these particular images, so if you go on the link there, under the systemd namespace on OBS, you can download a GNOME x86 image that are based on Fedora 42, 43, 44, Debian 13, and Debian 14. And also I have ARM images, ARM64 for Debian 13 and 14. I use that on my Raspberry Pi for some home automation. So anybody can go download this and use them and try them on a VM or hardware or everywhere else. The final great thing about this system, this build system, and why it's great for particular OS, in my opinion, is that users can just fork the images that I am building there and get them under their own project, and then they get signed by their own project key instead of mine.